Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. If you'd like to take your seats, welcome. Welcome all the people on the camera. I hope everybody's okay. Ah, right. Before we start this morning, let's just take a minute of quiet. Father God, we come into your presence this morning, laden down with all sorts of things. But we come to praise you. To praise you through whatever we are going through. And so, Lord, we pray that you would center us now. Give us peace in this time that we have with you. Help us to focus on you and learn more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 20 says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call."
As we take our seats, we too find ourselves in this place again. But find yourselves in a place where you come around the Lord's table, where it's he that invites every single one of you. For it is he who has given that great sacrifice. It is he that reminds us of that night that he was going to be betrayed as he sat there in that upper room with his friends, with his brothers. As he was saying, he will pour out his life. That the new covenant that he brought about in the bread and in the wine, his body and his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness of all. We too find ourselves once again in that place. Where we too, no matter what we've said or no matter what we've done, when we truly confess, and God looks up into our hearts, sees us clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he has forgiven once and for all. And so when we look upon that cross and we think of that great sacrifice, we too are to remember of what Christ has done for us. Just as he said in that upper room with his disciples. And as Paul reminds us in the passage in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ on the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And yet here we find ourselves again, doing what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us, that we come to his table and we eat and we drink in remembrance of him, knowing that one day all will be fulfilled and that he too will drink it and eat with us face to face in eternal glory. Let's give thanks. Loving Heavenly Father, words could not comprehend the gratitude that our hearts want to pour out to you for that ultimate sacrifice, that all are counted as one, that all are forgiven once and for all in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for this wine, symbols, elements of body and of blood that was poured out in the ultimate greatest sacrifice of all times. So, Lord, we give you thanks that as we eat and as we drink of this, we do so in remembrance of you until you come again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen. And so this bread, as we have given thanks, as we break, we remember that this is the body, all who eat of it, of Christ. And in the same way, the cup, as he poured out and said that this is a new covenant in his blood, once and for all. And so as we partake of this bread and of this cup, we do so in the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The elements will come round. Please take the bread and eat it. The bread is gluten-free, as we know. The wine is just normal juice. If, for whatever reason, you don't want to take it, or for you can't, just allow the elements to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. Eat the bread as you receive it. Hold the cup to retain, and we'll drink of a sign of our unity at the end. Let's raise our cups in remembrance of all that Christ has done and all that Christ will do, once and forevermore. Amen. Father God, we thank you that we can be found at your table, nourished and fed, both physically and spiritually as well. Lord, as we continue in our time of worship this morning, would you receive all that we are, all that we have, as an honour and as a blessing to glorify your name, now and forevermore. Amen.
Right, we're going to speak this because I think these words are amazing. So let's say it together. Death could not hold you.
The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Carol, would you like to come up and do the notices?
Good morning, everybody. Very warm welcome to everyone who's joined us here in church, and of course all our friends who are watching on YouTube. Lovely bright sunny morning here. I hope it is where you are, because it does make us feel better, that sunshine. I keep going on about it, but it does, doesn't it? Thank you so much to everyone who's contributed so far. An excellent start to our morning worship, and we look forward to what's coming in a few moments. So just a few moment notices for this coming week. Tomorrow, Monday the 6th, we have our prayer and meditation via Zoom at 9:30. Mums and Tots will be meeting on Tuesday morning, as usual, at 10 o'clock. On Thursday, we have the next warm space. I'm sure everybody is aware of this. We've been doing it for a while now, between 9 and 3. But just to say that from about half past 12, we do have a little bit of lunch together. Nothing posh, but it's really nice. So if you just want to pop down and have a sandwich and some soup and have a good natter, you're very welcome. We just want to make sure that people are aware that we're doing this. So Saturday the 11th, next Saturday at 8:30, it's our men's breakfast. So if you'd like to come, if you can, let Michael or Mark or George know, that'd be good. But otherwise, just turn up, because we've got plenty of food. We've got a freezer now, a little freezer, so that's making it, we can buy loads of stuff and just chuck it in there if we don't use it. So that's all good. And then, we'll be busy weekend next weekend, next Sunday at 12, at the 12th, we have our cafe church down here at 10:30. I'm sure everybody's aware of what that's about. It's where we have got a very informal time together. We have a message at the end, short message at the end, but it's a good time to bring family and friends. There'll be a few quizzes and things around, I think, and of course we'll be having food. So please do invite family and friends if you think they'd enjoy this. And then after the service, we'll be having a short church members meeting in the schoolroom just to discuss something that's come up that needs sorting sooner rather than later. So if you could remember that, that'd be good. Every so often, I think it's about every month, I receive an update from the Baptist Union, and it's full of information about events, what's happening, prayer requests and all sorts of things. And it's always addressed to me personally, which I think is really nice. I know that's not a hard thing to do technically, but it always says, Dear Carol, so I think, oh, that's nice, this is just for me. And there's also a kind of a little introduction to it. And as I was reading it this morning, actually, it was all about how wonderful technology has been during lockdown when we've been able to meet on Zoom and all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing quite like meeting together. And I think we'll all agree with that, won't we? And one of the good ways, the brilliant, best way, I think, really, is meeting together, is to share food. We've already shared communion this morning, which is probably the best meal we can ever share. But there's all sorts of things in the Bible, all sorts of examples and references. And I think probably one of the most important or the most well-known meals is the one that Jesus had with his disciples before the night before he was crucified. They'll call it the Last Supper. Which leads me very nicely into the next notice, because on Maundy Thursday this year, the 6th of April, Jan is arranging a Maundy Thursday service. Now, I'm not going to say too much about it yet, because it's quite a way off, but there will be food involved, and we will be taking communion, so it will be a very nice, quiet, reflective time together. But we do need numbers, please, so if you can sign up at the back. I know it's a while off yet, but just give you time to think about it, and then if you could let us know numbers. Again, if you'd like to invite family and friends, that would be really good. But before that, she's been a very busy lady. She's arranged on Tuesday the 21st of September, which I think probably we all really know, or maybe we don't, is Pancake Day. Oh, what did I say?
September?
Did I? Oh my goodness. Ah, dear, too many senior moments. Oh, thanks, Jan. Can always rely on somebody knowing what they're doing. Right. The 21st of February, which actually is 2 weeks, I think, on Tuesday. Pancakes, pizza and puzzles. Very exciting. A very family, all-age, fun night together. Quizzes, food. But again, we do need numbers. So please feel free to invite family and friends. There's some flyers at the back there, so if you want to give them out, but we could, as I say, we could do with numbers, because we don't want there not to be enough. So that's
might even be, Carol, a little bit of pancake flipping. I've heard there's a bit of rivalry between brothers.
Oh, well then, you might need to be practicing your skills before that day. So we're really looking forward to a lovely time together because of for the start of Lent. No charge for anything. We're not asking people to pay, but we do, as I say, we do need numbers. So I think that's all. I think I better sit down after all that rubbish. Facebook page and everything is updated regularly, and there are some newsletters at the back if you want to take them. Thank you.
Well, here we are as we come to the end of our unanswered prayer series, sessions, if you like. And I know, speaking to many of you, you found it difficult. I found it difficult, because it is difficult. But it's enabled us to go on a journey, sometimes where we don't want to go, facing some things we don't want to face, asking questions we'd rather not ask. And yet still, may be being left unanswered. But I hope, as I said at the very beginning, it provides tools for the toolbox. It provides an opportunity to face these things head on and to see where is God in all of this. And often when we're in the midst of the storm, we don't see it. It's often when we look back where we see, there is God. But as we go through, let's just recap. Like I say, this is the fifth week, the last 4 weeks. We looked at engaging the silence. And with that, we looked and watched the video of Bob Sergey. You remember the guy who has the vocal injury. And as he said, for about 15 years plus, he went into a deep depression. But all that he could kept saying was, I don't understand, but I love you. I don't understand, but I love you. And then, of course, we looked at how are we going to get through this. And with that, there was Simon Thomas. And with that, what he said, he didn't want to remain in his place of sorrow and anger as he lost his wife quite early on. He didn't want to remain in a place of sorrow and anger. But with that, he chose life. And he chose in most miraculous ways of where God was there with him. And then why aren't my prayers been working with that? And that was Alan Emerson. Again, he said, there's hope, but that hope won't invalidate your pain. There's hope, but that hope won't invalidate your pain. And then, of course, last week we looked at where is God when heaven is silent. And with that, there was Helen Bahani, who spoke very powerfully of her testimony of being imprisoned in many different prisons, a normal prison, military prison, and then a shipping container, and where she could do nothing but continue to sing of joy despite her pain and her suffering. And there's one profound thing that she said there is that Christianity, right in the middle of it, is not to give up. Throughout Christianity, throughout our walk, our faith, our journey in life and through Christ, right in the middle of these things, these situations, these experiences, is not to give up. And it's often then that you find strength more in God. We said it before, I think last year before, that Jesus is all you've got when Jesus is all you need. Oh, spit that round, actually. Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you've got. And yet, I think if you look back throughout the whole of the last 4 weeks, in all of the testimonies of these people through these videos, that's exactly what you see. When loved ones are taken away, when they're imprisoned against their will, when freedom and rights are stripped away from them, it's Jesus is all they have and all they need, because it's all they've got. Simon and Alan, as they said, surrounded by family and friends and loved ones, caring and what have you. Sometimes, certainly Simon would say he didn't necessarily want that, but he chose to drop the sorrow and the pain and the anger and choose life, because it's how God spoke to him in those circumstances. And so as we look forward today, it culminates the joy of Easter Sunday. As you know, it's that procession, that journey through the resurrection of Jesus. And one thing that we'll be asking in this final thing of hope-filled questions, when? When will my prayers be answered? Now, if you remember last week, I did say, don't necessarily think you're going to get the answers today, but it's something that we keep asking. It's also worth to bear in mind that you may never get the answers that you're looking for, but that God may answer them in a different way than what you're expecting, than what you may realise. And it's about digging deep in those experiences, those circumstances, and those situations, and seeing where is God in all of this. How do you engage in that silence? How do you see God when heaven is silent? How does God interact in your life and in your circumstances and in your situations as you walk through the storms, but knowing that he'll bring you through? And that even that there is always hope, and I say there's always hope, that doesn't invalidate the pain. So, as we look through today, We'll watch a video in a moment like we normally do. The verse that they're picturing on is in John chapter 20, as it says there, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You know this passage. It's where Jesus appears in the upper room to his disciples. This is after the resurrection. You know the pain and the stress that they went through at the time of resurrection and when they placed him in that tomb, thinking, now what? Now what? All that he said, what's going on? He's dead, is in the tomb. The doubts, the stress, the frustration, the anger, all culminating through these days that they had to suffer through Good Friday and Easter Saturday. And then through Easter Sunday as they saw, and onwards until he rose again and until he appeared to them. That's when their prayers were answered. And when they saw him, they were overjoyed. Well, like I say, as we look through, and we're going to watch this video in a minute, this one is, again, it's around 8.5 minutes long, and it speaks with Gemma, and this time with Greg and his wife Sammy, as they go through their journey, as we've heard a little bit throughout. But as we're looking at that, some things to remember and reflect on as we're watching this video, that there can be beauty in our brokenness. And that our deepest suffering can become our greatest gift to the world, but also our ultimate hope as Christians is eternal. That promise and assurance that God said way back in the beginning of his word, that even before he set the world into motion, that these are the assurances that we have in eternity for all. So we're going to watch the video in a moment. For those of you at home, again, we thank you so much for joining us. We're going to end the feed here. Again, the information is there for you. I do hope you can log on and watch the whole of this video. And if you're with someone, discuss that together and see where that takes you this week. For those of you that may be on your own, get in touch with us. We'd love to talk things through with you, to have discussions, and also to pray with you as well. But for now, do take great care, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, because as we say, next week is Cafe Church. We won't be live streaming the service, so we'll hope to catch up with you in a couple of weeks where it'll be Lent, and we'll see you then. But for now, take great care. God bless. Thank you.